We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
There's these couple of different families and they kind of struggle for power. It's just come out. It's really good, right? Are you not going to watch that show now just because you're like, oh yeah, I fully understand every bit of what happened?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, my name is Emma. My name is Sarah.
Okay.
Did you notice that? I think you had extra emphasis on the is.
All right. Would you like to read it?
No, thank you. We're bringing extra sass today to today's episode. It is time for our favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our incredible listeners, who you've gone out there, you've shot your shot, you've tried something, and you've got an update for us. This week, we're shouting out Catherine, and she bought us 3 coffees. Thank you, Catherine.
Yes, she said, thank you so much. Last summer, my husband accepted a job in Sydney, so we packed up everything in the UK and made the move in November. I left my job, which I loved, and started listening to your podcast a lot. In all honesty, I thought it would be much easier than it was to find new work, and even just getting interviews has been a real challenge. We've been living here in Oz for 6 months, and I was starting to feel a bit disheartened by the whole thing, but I've just landed an amazing new role with a fantastic organization. I wanted to send a huge thank you. I used so many of your tips and insights, and it really helped me get more of a feel for the Australian job market, which was invaluable. Up until now, I also had a real mental block about interviews and thought I was terrible at them. But your approach has made the difference, and now I feel that when I get an interview, I can smash it. So excited for my new job and next adventure. Thank you. Well, welcome to Oz and to Sydney.
Yeah.
How good is that?
Absolutely. It is hard work moving to another country. Believe me, I've been finding that out. Everything is new and difficult and nothing is easy. You can't go into autopilot for anything for a little while. But my favorite part about that story is that it's not just about the interview and getting that job. Catherine now knows anytime in the future, she can do a good interview. That's amazing. Imagine how freeing that is. New jobs, like advertised in your current workplace, you want to go for a promotion, you know you can smash the interview.
She's ready and unafraid. Bring it on. If you want results like Catherine and you need a little bit of help to get there, you can check out Sarah's one-on-one interview coaching sessions. You can get help with whatever aspect of the interview you need. Some people focus heavily on their tell me about yourself. Some people's best bits need refining. It's totally yours for the taking.
Or if you need holistic help on the entire process and maybe you're on a bit of a time crunch as well, check out Interview Academy. You can get access to it immediately. You can go check out our free training to see if it's right for you. All of that will be linked below in the show notes, and you can check out some more information and work out which one's right for you.
This week, we are dedicating our episode to Mari, who sent us a message about her situation / conundrum. And we do this all the time. So if you have something that you would love to see covered, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we could dedicate a whole episode to you. So she said, hi there, I recently discovered your podcast and it's been such a helpful resource as I navigate the job search and interview process. I was laid off about a month ago, and while I know it was just business, it's still been pretty demoralizing. Your episodes have really helped me feel a bit more grounded and confident. Thank you. I'm wondering if you've ever done an episode or would consider one on tips for handling multiple rounds of interviews. I've noticed that after a few rounds, I sometimes forget the key things I wanted to convey, or I end up giving totally different answers just to avoid sounding repetitive. Is it okay to repeat yourself if the same questions come up with different people? And how much do interviewers actually talk to each other behind the scenes? Would love to hear your thoughts.
From Mari. Well, Mari, don't take this personally, but I'm just using your question as a bit of an example here. We have done so many episodes about this topic, but we also get a lot of DMs about it, all
yes.
very slightly different versions of the same thing, which is it's a round four interview, but this is a second round, but it's with this person, but this is a third round and I've already done this bit first and these people are meeting me. What do I do for that particular situation? And it's a little funny because I feel like we've covered this a lot in talking about it's not necessarily any different just because it's round three versus round two or round four versus round three. Like there's no kind of universal truth for what a fourth round interview necessarily means. But obviously something is a bit confusing about that. And there's a panic to be like, it feels like it should be different.
I think people worry that we're gatekeeping something. It's like, yeah, all that advice was only for the first interview.
Oh, yeah.
But now, well, what do I do for the second? And it's like, yeah, it's nothing. It's all the same. But clearly there's demand for this to be explored more. So we're going to unpack it.
And I think it's hard to understand when you're on the other side. Like, but they've already interviewed me. Like, what else are they trying to do? It's a second round interview. And I think maybe the language that's used or the way that it's described doesn't really help people understand. Like, oh, this is the final round. And they're like, oh, final round. Like, I must have to do something special. And look, we could make video after video to go do this one thing in your third round interview. But that's just not true. And so,
not who we are.
Yeah. What we're going to do is change tactic. And I'm going to explain this to you guys using the analogy of dating.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
I wrote in the notes here, pause for Emma to sigh.
Big sigh. So predictable. But look, if it works, it works.
I think you're a bit skeptical, Emma, of like how we're going to be able to do this and how useful it is. But the reason I think it works is that even if people out there listening don't have actual experience dating in a real kind of sense, I think it's something that everyone can understand just from pop culture, from movies, from TV shows, just from understanding other people going through it. It's something everyone can kind of relate to or understand on some level. And I think it works really well here when it comes to multiple rounds.
So we're going to compare some interview scenarios to the dating realm. We're going to unpack their similarity and hopefully there's a few light bulbs that go off.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you were interviewing every round with just one person, it would be a lot like progressing through dating someone where you go on a first date, then a second date, third date. So obviously the first date, they got the basics. They know where you live. They know what you do for work, you know, what you like to do in your spare time, all the surface level stuff.
You've covered the intro stuff. And so on the second date, they already know how many siblings you have and, you know, the industry that you work in or whatever. So they're not going to ask you that again, that exact same question again. But maybe they expand on that and say, oh, so you mentioned two brothers, right?
Are you close with them? Or?
So are you really close? Yeah, tell me about them. Where do they live? Like there might be follow-up questions on those things that you already learned about the person.
Or like, what was your childhood like?
Right, because you already know bits and pieces and they might have told you something about where they grew up or one particular story that you might have heard. But on the third date, maybe you end up getting into a conversation about something else about their childhood and you go a little bit deeper. So if it was all with the one person, an interview is very much the same. You're meeting them, they're getting an understanding of, cool, who are you? What are you doing here? Like, what's your kind of scenario? Then in the second interview, they're wanting to follow up on some stuff. There might be some topics they haven't covered with you yet. They might want clarification on some things that they've reflected on a little bit. So they don't need the entire whole first date again. They're not going to be asking those same questions and you wouldn't want to be repeating all your stories. Imagine you went on a second date and you heard all the same stories as the first date. You'd be like, do they only have one set of stories? So you want to be having different examples and you can probably touch on the same things. Like, you know, I mentioned that my brother was really a lot older than me already, but what I didn't say is XYZ. So it's maybe the same story, but a little bit more in depth. There's more to it. There's other details that you're kind of giving, but you can't be just repeating the same stuff.
And then by the third interview, we're going deep into our childhood trauma. We're unpacking it. And how did that make you feel? We're getting into the nitty gritty. What keeps you up at night?
Well, then in the third one, maybe, you know, maybe a third date isn't the best comparison. Maybe we're skipping along the dates a little bit. But in the third interview, maybe you're even talking then about the future a little bit. Like, hypothetically, what would this look like? You know, what would you do for us in this job? Like, where would we live if we were together?
Yeah. Like, what's our ideal house?
Yeah.
It's a little
soon. What's your lifestyle like? Do you want kids? Are you like, well, you know, you're kind of understanding, do I think that this is actually something that has the potential to work longer term? So that is a really good analogy. And I'm hoping that that helps understand the repetition thing. But I think that's a pretty straightforward one, because most people understand if you're interviewing all your interviews with just the one person, I think that's the traditional thing that people understand of like second interview, third interview, like where it gets deeper, there's different stuff happening. And I think people apply that to when it's not all interviews with the same person. And I think that's where maybe the confusion comes from. So we've got some different scenarios to explore.
So if you meet with the recruiter first, you have a chat with them and then the hiring manager, that's like catching up with the friend who's going to set you up. So she's like, okay, this really cute guy, he plays on our tennis team. His name's Daniel. He really loves walks. He is an engineer, and you're getting the brief. You're seeing if it sounds like you're a good fit.
And they're getting to know you as well. Like, they want to hear some good stuff about you. Like, what have you been doing lately? Maybe you don't know each other that well, and they're going to set you up like you're a colleague or something. And they're like, remind me what you normally do. When was your last relationship? Like, they're just getting some details, clarifying so that they can pass it on. And they're going to use what they know about you from other things as well, maybe knowing you in person or your social media, whatever it might be. That friend who's chatting to you and getting the update on your kind of current dating situation might be asking you, how many siblings do you have again? Oh, yeah. And where are your parents from? Oh, that's right. You moved here however many years ago. They're going to pass that on to the person that you're meeting with, your date. But that doesn't mean that you don't want to mention all of those things again to your date. The date is going to want to hear all of those things fresh for themselves.
Yeah, that would be really weird if you skipped all of the intro, typical first date convos just because a friend had given a brief mention of who you are.
Exactly. They're going to want to hear that stuff for themselves, even though they've had the intro of like, oh, Emma, really into sports. She does tennis. She does croquet. She does all these things. She runs a 5K every morning.
Go me.
It's not like they're just not going to ask you anything about sport. They're going to say, oh, tell me about all of your sport. Like, they want to hear it directly from you. So I think that's a good way to think about that when it comes to the recruiter and the hiring manager. Yes, they might have heard those things, but hearing it direct from you about how passionate you are about those things is going to reinforce, oh yeah, Emma did say that. Oh yeah, I did hear that you were passionate about this, that you were good at that, that you really liked XYZ. Like, it's a good thing to have you back up what they've already heard about you from the recruiter, and you don't need to worry about...
Interview Academy might be the perfect thing you're looking for. Interview Academy is a course Sarah has been working on after delivering hundreds of interview coaching sessions and getting incredible results.
But unfortunately, I'm only one gal living in an Aussie time zone who works a day job, and all of that mean I can't help everyone one-on-one, which drove me crazy.
So for over a year, Sarah's been working on turning all of those amazing lessons into an on-demand, step-by-step interview prep course. We hold your hand through the entire thing.
And you can do it at home in your own time and get instant access right now. Check it out at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. The link is in the show notes. Repeating your stories, because it's a different person that you're meeting with.
Yes. So think about next, if you're interviewing with your manager first and then your manager and their boss, that is the equivalent of having a first date and then meeting their parents. This is such a good example. So
right.
It's like roping in the more senior authority figure. It's like, okay, it's going so well that I want to take it to the next step. I want you to meet my mum and dad.
Yes, that's right. Now, the first date, they've decided that they like you, and maybe second date is kind of ridiculous for this. So maybe let's fast forward. It's like fifth or sixth or something like that. But we're kind of calling it our second date just to help with the analogy here. So they've already told their parents about you, similar to what we just kind of talked about, but they didn't like record all of your dates and all of your interactions and all of your text messages and show them for your parents. Like they haven't gone through minute by minute by minute and told them every story that you've told, have they? That would be weird. It's just like your parents say, oh, what's she like? Oh, well, she likes this and she works here and we did this on our first date and yeah, it was just really fun. Like they've had the Cliff Notes version. They've had the vibes. They've had a couple of things. They've maybe shared something about what you do or a fun story or something you have in common. Like there's some anecdotes maybe in there, but they don't have the full understanding of every single thing that you talked about, right? And on that second date, the difference with the one before is that you're still there when they're meeting your parents. It's not like you go, hi, parents, meet my date, and then you leave the room. That would be super weird. Like you are sticking around.
To be the mediator.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And like say if you had just got back from an overseas trip and then the date told their parents, yeah, Emma just got back from the US, that he wouldn't have recited all of the epic cool stories and highlights from my
exactly.
trip to them. Can you imagine if he just regurgitated everything I told him? So the parents are, of course, going to be like, Emma, how was the US?
How was your trip?
What was the best parts? Even though I've already told my date.
And it would kind of be weird if you only talked about new things in front of your date because they'd be like, I haven't heard any of this. This is all brand new information. Like you don't cover any of the same topics. You don't mention any of the same stories. That would almost be really strange.
The date is sitting there giddy, like playing matchmaker, like they're listening to you tell a story and they're like smiling and nodding along. They're like, yeah, isn't this a good one?
And they're excited for the person next to them to connect and to hear it. That is exactly, exactly right. And I'm hoping people are starting to understand with this one how that dynamic kind of plays out when the boss is in the meeting again and there's a more senior person there. Because they liked you, they put you through to this round. They want you to impress in front of the person next to them. And they're going to be okay if they hear some of the same stuff again, because that's consistency. Their boss hasn't heard it. And they're going to be excited to go, look, see, I told you, isn't she a great communicator? Isn't she great with her training? Doesn't she have such good knowledge? Isn't she passionate? All those things that they already rehashed. If you talked about completely different stuff, totally different stories, they might not see some of the skills that they heard about in the little debrief. But you do probably want to do some new stuff because it would be also weird to only use the same stories. And it's like the same interview on repeat and your boss is like, you just only have five stories and you're just saying them all again. Like you want some variety in there, but it's okay to rehash some of the basics and some of the really core stuff.
Next, imagine that interviewing with your manager first and then a totally new person is like you've been on a first date and now you're going on another first date with their polyamorous partner. This is getting confusing.
Yes. I just wanted to like, this one was kind of hard because it's a first date again.
Yeah.
You don't know this person. They have a relationship to the person that you've dated before, and potentially you're still in contention for dating the first person. Does that kind of make sense? Like, I didn't want it to be like, oh, they've referred you to a friend to go on a date, because that's not really quite right. It's like they both still have something to do with this ongoing relationship. But I think what people get confused about is that, oh, but it's a second interview. Sarah, that's not true. It's a second interview. Right. But this person hasn't met you before. And there's actually nobody in the interview who's ever interviewed you before.
That's the distinction.
They are completely new. That's right. And so that's the part of this that matters more, is that it's a first date with this person that you're in front of. It's the executive, it's the manager's manager, it's someone from a different department, it's whatever. It's not a second date.
They will have different questions than the person that interviewed you before. They'll have a different relationship to you. Treat it like your very first interview for the company.
That's right. And they may have heard some stuff about you because they've been given some context, right? Like if you were going on a date with their polyamorous partner and you're going to be dating both of them and whatever, then they've probably told you, hey, this is this person. Here's why I think they might be really great for us. But it's like a couple of minutes kind of conversation. It might be some notes in a system. It might be something in an email. It's not a rehash of every single question they asked and every single answer that they gave. I hope that kind of makes sense. Even if they took really detailed interview notes, the likelihood that this person has actually read them word for word, very, very unlikely. And hey, if they have done that, then they won't ask those questions, will they? Because they already know those answers.
But also, even if the previous person had given them an entire rundown on you, they still want to see it for themselves. If I'm going to date this person, I still want to judge for myself.
Yes. I want to see what they look like or hear what they sound like when they talk about that thing. And I want to judge whether I think that they're telling the truth about that or not. I want to hear it fresh again, not just trust, you know, that it's come from someone else. I want to hear the way they describe it. I want to see if they're consistent. So again, totally okay to reuse all of your same stuff because they're not going to compare exactly what you talked about with the other person. And even if they do, consistency is good. It's like, oh yeah, I think she's really good with her team. Oh yeah, did she tell you that thing about blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I did hear about that. Wasn't that amazing? Yeah, it was. Like, that's a good thing. I think in Mari's question, she was kind of thinking like, how much do they share? Is it okay to sound repetitive? Are they talking to each other behind the scenes and they're thinking, oh my God, she's just repeating the same stuff? That's okay though. That's consistency. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I think it would be more concerning if one interviewer came out and was like, oh, she really focused on like all the work she's done with Excel and project stuff. And the other person was like, oh, really? She talked heaps about her creative side, or that would be more concerning.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because you're trying to like keep it fresh, or you're trying to like diversify or whatever. But that second person doesn't think that you're creative at all. Like, you need to keep in mind the context of who you're meeting with and where that sits. And I think that that matters a lot more than what round number you're up to in total. It just like, oh, it's another round. It's round four. It's round this. It's meet the team. It's whatever. That stuff doesn't mean anything because every single company, every single process is going to be completely different by what they mean by final interview, by what they mean by a second round.
Context clues are important.
That's exactly right. Now, let's get back to Mari's questions. Is it okay to repeat yourself? What do you think, Em?
Yes.
Absolutely. In fact, it's encouraged. Second question, how much do interviewers talk to each other behind the scenes?
Not much, I would say.
It depends. Usually, it's pretty little. Sometimes it's nothing, actually. That second person might be going in there completely blind. They've just got your resume, basically just the same way that your first interviewer kind of went in. All they know is that you've already met with someone else. That might be as little as they know.
I'd like them to communicate so that they don't have to waste time asking the exact same things.
I know, right? But if they have spoken, it's probably a little bit like telling a friend about a book you read or a TV show that you're watching. You're giving them the gist. You're saying, oh, it's kind of like Yellowstone, but it's set like further in the past. And there's these couple of different families and they kind of struggle for power. It's just come out. It's really good, right? Are you not going to watch that show now just because you're like, oh yeah, I fully understand every bit of what happened?
Are you talking about the Australia series on Netflix based in the Northern Territory?
No, I had nothing in particular in mind. I was kind of thinking of the Yellowstone prequel vaguely, but there you go. See, like you don't even have enough information to narrow it down to an exact TV show.
Sorry, it's called Territory on Netflix and it's literally based on Yellowstone. It's like the Australia ripoff version. And it's about families struggling for power.
There you go. Well, it's a tale as old as time. But you're giving the gist. You might tell a little anecdote. You might say, oh, and it opens with this thing and there's this episode about this that happens and they're in the helicopter, like whatever it is. But that's kind of the level of detail of like you giving it the summary or the synopsis of a show that you're watching or a book that you've read. So I don't want you to think that people are out there like re-listening to the transcript of your interview and like taking down every single thing that you said. I really don't think that's the case. And honestly, the more I think about it, the organizations that would make such detailed interview notes, like government, where they have a scribe whose job it is to like write down kind of everything from the interview, they typically don't do multiple rounds of interviews. They have a panel and then it's just kind of one and done, which honestly, I know panel interviews are kind of intimidating, but at least they just get everyone in the same room together and then you just get to do the one version and it's everybody efficient. Hears it at the same time. It is efficient. That's why you don't have to do multiple rounds because you're doing a panel. So if you don't like panel interviews, then
buckle up for eight rounds.
The antidote is like, yeah, that's right, meeting everyone one by one and having to repeat yourself. But I hope that helps. We've got a whole bunch of other episodes about first round, second round, what's different, what's not. So we will link those below. Go and check them out. But I'm hoping that this helped you have a bit of a different mindset when it comes to thinking about what round you might be up to with your interview process.
And once again, the dating analogy strikes again. I hope no one was playing a drinking game with the dating analogy references because you would be highly intoxicated.
Yes, yes. Our good old every time Sarah compares job searching to dating. I think it worked quite well. I mean, the polyamorous one was a bit of a stretch, but I think we made our points.
Good luck out there.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about the show who might need to hear it. That's how we can hit the charts and we can help even more people all around the world. For more advice, some savable content, and to see behind the scenes, chuck us a follow on Instagram at Interview Boss. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.